the House Committee on Oversight and Reform met today for a hearing. They're looking at the Trump administration's policy of separating immigrant children from their parents at the southern border as a means of deterring more asylum seekers.
Separating children from their mothers and fathers causes damage that may endure for a lifetime. Let me let that sink in. In other words, until they die.
That was Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings, a Democrat from Maryland. He went on to say the committee has just begun to receive more information about the separations from the Departments of Justice, Homeland Security, and Health and Human Services after they sent those agencies subpoenas. Chairman Cummings said they've learned that at least 18 infants and toddlers under 2 years old have been taken from their immigrant parents at the border and kept apart for up to 6 months. And at least 241 separated children were kept in Border Patrol facilities longer than the 72 hours permitted by law. We wanted to learn more about the effects this kind of trauma can have on a child. And we have Pam McGranahan here in the studio to talk more about it. Pam is a nurse practitioner, associate clinical professor at UW, and director of the Doctor of Nursing Practice Program at UW's School of Nursing. She spends a lot of time researching and working on the effects of trauma and adverse childhood experiences. Pam, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What can you tell us about what happens to a child when they are separated from their parents for extended periods, as we're seeing?
Some of it depends on the age of the child, but in almost all cases, it's a devastating thing to do. And any parent who imagines that, having a child forcibly taken away from them, especially if we don't know the environment they're going into, that it is nurturing and safe and predictable, that is a really horrifying thought.
And you said it depends a little on the age of the child. What kind of differences do we see, say, between those toddlers or maybe elementary school age kids, early teens?
It is hard to quantify. You know, there are a lot of depends in this whole saga. But we do know that in those first 3 years, it's critical that a child has a predictable, safe adult who responds to them roughly the same way. Any of us who've raised a baby knows that when they squeal, you know, we look at them and say, oh, what noise you're making, right? That child matters to me. And in that way, it's called serve and return. They give us a cue, we respond back to it, and they start learning about their impact on the world. So brains aren't cooked when babies are born, and they build from the bottom up. And so all of those interactions that we have almost instinctively with children as safe and loving adults that think that child is the center of our world is what puts a brain together for a lifetime of productivity and coping and the ability to attach to other people around them and care about the world.
So that sounds a lot of emotional and psychological impacts. Are there also other, obviously the brain is part of our physical being too, but are there other physical impacts that we might see?
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time about how to talk about this on radio in just a few minutes today. So in 2007, Jack Shonkoff from the American Academy of Pediatrics put out a really great technical brief that talked about the complexity of childhood development. And it's dependent. For one thing, we learn. It's how our brain is built and how it learns. And some of that's really physiological, the way the cells attach, our neurons. But then there are also environmental, like how well we're fed, how safe our environment is in terms of chemical exposures that can really change how children develop. Communicable disease is a piece of that. We know that there's a stress reaction that is really more of our hormone system that raises our cortisol levels, which is hard on brain development, but also really hard on our cardiovascular system. And so there's some stress piece that occurs both in who's nurturing us, how we're being fed and taken care of physically, and then in just how stressed we are and the opportunities that are afforded to us. So this really complex, we refer to it as the environment, but it is really about relationships and food and chemical exposures, as well as how safe and or stressed we feel, all contribute to building a baby's brain into a productive adult.
We heard Representative Cummings say that damage from childhood trauma, like being separated from parents, can last into adulthood, potentially for an entire lifetime. Is that an accurate assessment?
It is accurate, and that's actually where my interest lies. So I came out of, I've been a nurse for more than three decades, and came out of public health and really had an interest in, we used to talk about upstream determinants. We still do, but I've really narrowed my view down. In looking at adult health, why are some adults not as healthy as others? And cardiovascular disease is really linked to things that happened to you as a child, and it's that inflammation again. And I don't ever want to leave people feeling hopeless. There are things you can do. The lever is really probably epigenetic on top of that elevated cortisol. And so I always say love, mindfulness, and kale can heal a lot. But I see no reason to inflict damage on children when we can avoid it.
And is there a difference? I'm guessing there is, but how big a difference is it between being separated for, say, that 72 hours, which is allowable by law, versus several months?
Oh, none of it's good. I don't want to get political in this, but it's never a good idea to forcibly separate primary caregiver and an infant or a child. But 72 hours is a whole lot better than months or weeks. And, you know, anybody who has children or has been around children recognizes they have no capacity to understand that and to separate it from abandonment. And so that's a whole different set of behavioral impacts.
Pam McGranahan is a nurse practitioner, associate clinical professor at UW, and director of the Doctor of Nursing Practice Program at UW School of Nursing. We are talking about the lasting impact that childhood trauma can have on children at the time and as they become adults. And Pam, there's actually a system for predicting the risk of damage to mental and physical health. We actually talked about this when WPT's Frederica Freiberg did a documentary about trauma-informed care, and that is the Adverse Childhood Experiences Scoring. Can you tell us more about that system?
Yeah. So it's the classic example of things that take 20 years to get into practice of research. So 1998 was the original ACE study, came out and said, wow, when bad things happen to kids throughout the whole course of their life, we can predict poor health outcomes. Some of it are behavioral, smoking, addiction, drinking, suicidality. But some are related to that inflammatory response and epigenetic response. So we see more autoimmune disorders, we see more cancers, we see a six-fold increase in heart disease. And that study has been replicated over and over and over again. Sometimes they've looked at different bad things to happen to children, sometimes looked at different health outcomes. And so the latest thing I've read from the CDC doesn't even bother to quantify what it was exactly or how many times it happened or where, at what point in your life it happened, whether you're 3 or you're 15, but when a significant traumatic effect or a condition impact or hits you as a kid, when you get to 4 or more, you really see the impacts through your life.
And it also seems that whether it, like the children in Frederica Freiberg's documentary, The Young People, whether it was that they were physically abused, sexually abused, moved among many different foster families, separated from their parents, or if it's maybe some of these children who are coming to the southern border who are escaping violent societies and perhaps have also incurred trauma on their journey, it sounds like all of this, it's a cumulative effect.
Yeah. Trauma on top of trauma, for some reason, tends to do more damage. And it makes sense. You don't have time to heal from one and another happens. I read a really moving statement today that immigrant children, you know, these little ones who are mostly coming out of the Northern Triangle in Central America, are 80% are fleeing violence. So it's trauma on top of trauma. And, you know, it just keeps that amygdala, hippocampus, all our endocrine system ramped up. And so already really vulnerable. And then if you remove that safe adult from them forcibly, put them in conditions that are really cold, don't feed them well, expose them to illness, it really sets them up for failure.
So this ACE score, the Adverse Childhood Experiences score, shows kind of the accumulated trauma effect. Is having a high ACE score, you know, kind of a sentence that you can't escape, or are there things that people can do to recover?
And I maintain not. I mean, I actually, it's harder to undo what was done to you as a little one under the age of 5. But we know that the epigenetic switches are plastic, and so they can be changed. So, you know, I say it somewhat facetiously, mindfulness, kale, and love. But human connections, learning to self-regulate, having some sort of exposure to tamp down that immune system, so doing some work can undo it. But, whenever I can prevent it, that's always where I'm going to go.
And briefly, Pam, before we let you go, a term or a concept that I'm familiar with is secondary trauma. And so what about people who are perhaps working in those centers where the children are being held, or even people who are seeing the images? We did a segment not that long ago about the issue of separation, and a woman said on Facebook she was sobbing telling her husband about it because she saw a child who was the same age as their child. What about this ripple effect of trauma?
All right. I mean, it is, the community impacts are of concern to me. I don't want to tell people to look away, because I think we need to look at this right now and acknowledge it. It's just so easy to get buried in the news cycle or have it be too painful to pay attention to. But I'm really concerned that this could go on or become really a national shame for us. It doesn't make us safer if we're inflicting damage on children that doesn't allow them to attach. It creates adults who don't attach or have empathy. I'm also concerned about people who are working in these camps that, you know, they're not all bad people, and I don't want to vilify them. And that would be miserable to me to be in a camp. I know a pediatrician who goes down and serves at the border and just testified before Congress. And she reported that they're often not allowed to touch the children. That would be really difficult. And so I worry about that. I worry about children who are in this country legally and families that look like those kids and are concerned every day about being swept up in this.
Well, Pam, thank you so much for coming in and sharing that with us.
Thank you so much for your time.
That's Pam McGranahan, a nurse practitioner and director of the UW Doctor of Nursing Practice Program. We talked with her about the effects childhood trauma can have later in life and what can be done about it.